Let me begin by making a couple of cosmic reflections or observations about the cosmos. I think you probably know today is the shortest day of the year, December 22nd, the darkest day of the year, the day of the winter solstice, which means that the way the Earth is tilted, for us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're tilted away from the sun. I looked it up last night because I said, how can that be, the winter solstice everywhere in the world at the same time? It's at the same time, but it's different times according to the time zone. Here in Manila, the moment of the winter solstice is 11:37 this morning. So 11:37, you look out, see if you're farther from the sun than you were at 11:36. Of course, we won't notice. In fact, we can't even see the sun. It's a cloudy day. But this idea of it being the darkest day is also significant for the coming of the light of the world. Jesus comes into the world when it's at its darkest. That's why we celebrate Christmas at midnight, the darkest moment. I know that it's the calendars and the different traditions make it not quite that precise. I mean, here it is December 22nd. It's not December 25th. Was Jesus born at the very moment when the solstice passed? I don't know. But it's a beautiful thing to reflect on, that the light of God comes into the world in a moment of our greatest darkness, our greatest need. So that's one thing just to keep in mind. The other thing is it rained all night long. I know this time of year is supposed to be cool and dry, but it's hot and wet. Not as hot as it was, but it was very hot yesterday. But the idea of rain is also a significant Advent image. It comes up again and again during Advent. Let the heavens rain down the just one, and let the earth spring forth a savior. When the prophets said that, I don't think they were thinking that God would become man, but that's what it indicates. So the heavens raining down, in other words, the Messiah comes from heaven, but he doesn't remain in heaven. He comes down, and then the earth springs forth a savior. The celebration of Christmas is that not just that God is God or God loves us, but that God is with us, Emmanuel. Let the heavens rain down the just one. Well, no one understands this better than the Blessed Virgin Mary. No one has this awareness of the eternal God coming down from heaven as much as Mary, because she's carrying God in her womb. This is today's gospel is again a scene from the Visitation. So Mary has just recently conceived. She's carrying the Holy One within her, and she knows that he comes from heaven because she's a virgin. There's no other explanation for her pregnancy. He comes from heaven. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And yet, she's carrying him within her. That's the earth. That's human flesh. There's nothing more fleshy than a pregnancy. It's very, very tangible. So Mary knows that the heavens have rained down the just one, and she knows that she herself is the earth bringing forth the Savior. So it stopped raining. But when I was preparing this homily, it was raining. So that's why it's still in my mind. Now let's turn to what Mary says here. This is the famous canticle we call the Magnificat. Remember, Mary arrived at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. There was this sudden kind of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. John, Elizabeth, Mary. And after Elizabeth says extraordinary things about Mary. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you who believed. Elizabeth really pours out a lot of praise on Mary. Well, then Mary responds with this canticle. This is one of the gemstones of the scriptures. And the church has always very highly treasured this canticle. The church prays this every single day in Vespers, the evening prayer of the church. It's one of the four canticles in Luke's infancy gospel. The four canticles, which we read during Advent and Christmas. The first one, this one, Magnificat. Second one, Canticle of Zechariah. I don't know if we'll get that this year. You're going to think it, I think Sunday. It would normally be on the 24th, but that falls on a Sunday. So anyway, that's the second canticle. The third canticle, Christmas night, the Canticle of the Angels, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. And then the fourth one, the Canticle of Simeon at the presentation. Those last two are very short. But the longer ones, Mary's Canticle, Zechariah's Canticle. So this is Mary's. These are, I say, like gemstones. These are like diamonds that the church holds up for us. Every day we pray, anyone praying the Liturgy of the Hours, every day prays the Canticle of Zechariah in the morning, Canticle of Mary in the evening. Now there's a lot here. This is just a powerful summary of Mary's whole spirituality. It's a statement of the Anoim spirituality, the song of the Anoim. Let me try to pick out a few thoughts. First of all, this is parallel to or consistent with the canticle of Hannah, which is what we prayed today in the responsorial psalm. Hannah, the Old Testament woman who received a child from God and sang the praises of God because of this gift. But if you notice, and this is what the scholars love to point out, Hannah's canticle is a little bit more focused on herself. And Mary's canticle is focused on the greatness of the Lord. When Hannah says, "My heart exults in the Lord," she's talking about herself and her own experience. "My horn is exalted in my God." Well, exalting is something we do. Exalting, with an A, is something we do to others. So the difference between an intransitive verb and a transitive verb, if you want to get technical about it. What Mary does is proclaims the greatness of the Lord. She's not just happy, she's praising God. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." This is where the word Magnificat comes from, the Latin expression Magnificat. Anima mea Dominum, or mea amina Dominum. My anima, my soul, magnifies the Lord. It's a little difficult to capture that verb for magnifying, but it's exalting, glorifying, praising, in this translation, proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. So it's all about Mary putting all the praise where it belongs, the Lord. And it's not just her words, it's her soul. It's her whole being. It's her whole being. From the depths of her inner self, she's magnifying the Lord. It's a very beautiful expression. That's why it's something that we treasure in the church. "My spirit rejoices in God." As I said, this is not just Mary relishing the great experience of being blessed, but taking that experience and directing it to the one who has bestowed it on her. "My spirit rejoices in God, for he has looked upon his lowly servant." This is who she is in relation to the one who's blessed her. And then she says, "From this day, all generations will call me blessed." Maybe she's reflecting on what Elizabeth just did, because Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And we use that expression of Elizabeth every time we pray the Hail Mary. So Mary's saying, well, Elizabeth said I'm blessed. And this is going to be the expression of every generation. It sounds at first like a bit self-centered, no? Like she wants everyone in the world of all time to talk about how great she is. But that's not what she's doing. This is the difference between pride and humility. No, pride is self-focused and self-glorifying, whereas humility proclaims the truth regardless of how it might look to anybody else. Humility is this freedom that comes with truth. And she's explaining Why all generations will call her blessed? Because the Almighty has done great things for her. So she immediately explains why all generations will call her blessed. Not because she's so great, but because God is so great and he's done such great things for her. So you see how even in these first few lines, it's just a powerful reflection on how to understand ourselves before God and how to respond. We shouldn't walk around pretending like we have nothing and we know nothing and God has never done anything for us. That's not humility. Humility is to acknowledge the greatness of God and that God has done great things for us, most of which we don't know. We haven't recognized yet, but it's certainly true. Okay, after she says that the Lord has done great things for her, holy is his name, she disappears from the canticle. She doesn't mention herself anymore. She goes on to reflect on the ways of God, how God is working, and how God has always worked. And the reason why this is a nice thing to ponder, this is a profound thing to ponder, is because it helps us understand what God is doing now and what he's doing all the time. Very often we don't understand what God is doing. So it's good to recall what he's doing is he is scattering the proud. He is casting down the mighty and lifting up the lowly. This is what he's always doing. He's always loving us. But in order for his love to be properly effective, pride has to be cast down. And when that happens, then his love can lift up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, sending the rich away empty, and fulfilling all his promises. We had a recollection 4 weeks ago, an Advent recollection. The theme was, God is faithful to his promises. Mary is acknowledging this. God is faithful to his promises. The very things that he promised to Abraham and his children, he is fulfilling right now. In fact, he's always fulfilling his promises. He's always humbling the proud and lifting up the lowly. So when we, in our daily experience, run into contradictions or confusing events or troubling, sad moments, and we wonder, what is God doing? Why doesn't he do it better? Why doesn't he resolve this problem faster? We can take this answer. What he's doing is humbling the proud. It doesn't look like that to us. It looks to us like the proud are the ones who get all the benefit and humble people get squashed all the time. But that bubble of pride is going to be burst eventually. If not in this life, for sure when we die. No one can be proud when they die because it's so obvious that we don't have anything anymore and nothing to boast about. So God will bring down all the proud, ourselves and everybody else, one way or another. And he will lift up the lowly because that's what he wants to do anyway. That's what he always does. The only people he can't exalt are the people who won't let him do it. The only people whom he cannot feed are those who will not eat what he gives them. Well, Mary is announcing this because this is what she herself believes and this is what she herself experiences. But she gives it also as a gift to us, to Elizabeth and Zechariah, maybe Joseph if he was there. And this beautiful canticle becomes an enduring proclamation of the great ways of God. He blesses his lowly servants. He does great things for us. Holy is his name. It's a great way to bring our Advent to a not just to a completion, but to fulfillment. When we get to Christmas, we have all great reasons to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. It'll be so obvious to us that God does great things to us. But it's even when it's not obvious to us, it's still true. So let our souls also magnify the Lord.